ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 30, entitled The Activities of the Prachetas, text number 47. Tatra shishtaye vriksha bhita duhitaram tada ujjaruste prachetobhya upadishta swayam bhuva तत्रावशिष्टाये वृक्षा भीता दुहितरं तदा उज्जरुस्ते प्रचेतोभ्या उपदिष्टाः स्वयं भुवा। तत्र वशिष्ठाये वृक्षा भीता दुहितरं तदा उज्जरुस्ते प्रचेतोभ्या उपदिष्टाः स्वयं भुवा। तत्र वशिष्ठाये वृक्षा भीता दुहितरं तदा उज्जरुस्ते प्रचेतोभ्य उपदिष्टा स्वयं। तत्र देर अवशिष्टा रिमेनिंग ये विच वृक्षाः ट्रीज भीताः बीइंग अफ्रेड दुहितरम देयर डॉटर तदा At that time, Ujjaru delivered, they, Prachetobhyah, unto the Prachetas, Upadishtaha, being advised, Swayambhuva, by Lord Brahma. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, the remaining trees, being very much afraid of the Prachetas, immediately delivered their daughter at the advice of Lord Brahma. Purport. The daughter of the trees is referred to in text 13 of this chapter. This daughter was born of Kandu and Pramalocha. The society girl Pramalocha, after giving birth to the child, immediately left for the heavenly kingdom. While the child was crying, the king of the moon took compassion upon her and saved her by putting his finger into her mouth. This child was cared for by the trees, and when she grew up, by the order of Lord Brahma, she was delivered to the Prachetas as their wife. The name of the girl was Marisha, as the next verse will explain. It was the predominating deity of the trees that delivered the daughter. In this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada states, Vrikshah tad adhishtatra devata. The trees means the controlling deities of those trees. In Vedic literatures, we find that there is a controlling deity of the water. Similarly, there is a controlling deity of the trees. The Prachetas were engaged in burning all the trees to ashes, and they considered the trees their enemies. To pacify the Prachetas, the predominating deity of the trees, under the advice of Lord Brahma, delivered the daughter Marisha. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarina. So, we are continuing this episode of the Prachetas. And as we have heard, after the Prachetas emerged from the waters, performing thousands of years of austerities to please the Supreme Lord, they found that the entire planet was covered with huge trees. Being very angry, the Prachetas emitted fire from their mouth, the fire which is used at the time of devastation, in order to burn the trees down to ashes. At that time, Lord Brahma arrived at the spot, consoled and pacified the Prachetas, and advised the trees to hand over their daughter Marisha to the Prachetas in marriage. And as Jiva Goswami mentions, that when we speak that the trees gave the daughter, it means the controlling deity, the Adhishtata Dev of the trees, gave the daughter in marriage to the Prachetas. For the last few days we have been discussing on this theme of the anger of the Prachetas. It is extremely difficult to understand how someone who has got the direct audience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has rendered pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord, whose heart has been freed from all kinds of malicious and vicious qualities, how is it that such a devotee gets angry? The anger of Prachetas seems to be unjustified. Similarly, we find in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj also getting angry at the Yakshas to revenge the death of his brother Uttama. Dhruva Maharaj also got the audience of the Supreme Lord. He was a pure devotee. His heart was completely freed of all the anarthas. How was it then that Dhruva Maharaj exhibited anger towards the Yakshas? So we can try to understand the anger of the Prachetas and the anger of Dhruva Maharaj from two different points of view. One point of view is explained by Srila Prabhupada in the purports to the episode of the Prachetas. A great devotee of the Lord has these two qualities. One is that a great devotee of the Lord never gives up his prescribed duties. Although a devotee is never obliged to engage in his prescribed duties, yet a devotee considering himself to be fallen continues to engage in his prescribed duties. And secondly, a devotee is never concerned for himself. A devotee is always concerned for others. So the Prachetas were Kshatriyas, and it was the order of the Supreme Lord that they should rule over the entire planet Earth. When the Prachetas came out of the waters and they saw that the trees were grown up, they were very much concerned about their subjects. The Prachetas did not give up their prescribed duties. Being Kshatriyas, it was their prescribed duties to take care of the administrative affairs of the planet Earth. It was important to see that there were sufficient grains and sufficient necessities that were provided to all of their citizens. Therefore, the anger of the Prachetas can be seen from the point of view of their being a Kshatriya. Although great devotees, they were still following their prescribed duties, and therefore, in order to take care of their subjects, they got angry at the trees, wanting to burn them down. Also, we find in the case of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was a pure devotee, and Dhruva Maharaj's anger towards the Yakshas was not based on his own self. He was still following his prescribed duties as a Kshatriya. And as a Kshatriya, it is very important to revenge, to avenge the death of a near and dear one caused by someone. Like we find in the Bhagavad Gita also, Yudhishthir Maharaj once was defeated by Karna, and Yudhishthir Maharaj came back to his camp. Karna, in order to find out what had happened to Yudhishthir, returned back to the camp. At that time, Yudhishthir Maharaj had said to Arjuna, that my dear Arjuna, it is your duty as a Kshatriya to take revenge against Karna because he has defeated your brother Yudhishthir. And what is this? You have come here? You are a eunuch. You better put your Gandiva bow down. Arjuna had taken a vow that anyone who asks me to put my Gandiva bow down, I shall kill him. Arjuna immediately brought out his sword and was ready to kill Maharaj Yudhishthir. At that time, Lord Krishna said, wait a minute, don't worry. For a Kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death. So you really don't need to kill him. Just a few words of insult is sufficient. And then Yudhishthir Maharaj was insulted by Arjuna that I am not a eunuch, you are a eunuch. Why? Because in the assembly of Hastinapur, it was because of you that this battle of Kurukshetra was brought about. In that assembly, you were ready to immediately finish off Duryodhan and Dushasan, but it was you who stopped us. So Yudhishthir Maharaj had used this statement that you are a Kshatriya and it is your duty to revenge the defeat of your brother. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj, he was revenging the death of his brother Uttama, being a Kshatriya in nature. So one reason of the anger of great devotees like Prachetas or Dhruva Maharaj is that they still continue to follow their prescribed duties, although great Vaishnavas. And as Kshatriyas, it is their nature to retaliate back whenever their prescribed duties is not followed properly. The second reason why Dhruva Maharaj or the Prachetas got angry is very interesting. In this year's Vyas Puja book to Srila Prabhupada, Anuttama Prabhu, in his offering to Srila Prabhupada, makes a very interesting point. He says that Srila Prabhupada was a Shaktyavesh avatar. Srila Prabhupada was an empowered devotee. And therefore Srila Prabhupada could bring about all of these things in ISKCON. And Anuttama Prabhu says, many devotees therefore evade the possibility of struggling in their life. They say Srila Prabhupada was a Shaktyavesh avatar. Therefore, during Prabhupada, there was no conflicts, everything was okay. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada could do things. And because we are small, we cannot do anything. Srila Prabhupada, Anuttama Prabhu explains that one has to, along with the transcendental greatness of Srila Prabhupada, also see the transcendental smallness of Srila Prabhupada. The human facet, the human side of Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada was an incarnation. Yes, Prabhupada was a Shaktyavesh avatar. But alongside, we also should see how Srila Prabhupada was a human being, struggling. Srila Prabhupada was struggling to get a ticket to go to the United States. Srila Prabhupada was struggling in Jhansi to establish the League of Devotees. Srila Prabhupada was struggling to establish the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. As a human being, he showed his struggle. And in his struggle, he showed how to take shelter of the Supreme Lord, how to take shelter of the spiritual master. So this transcendental smallness of Srila Prabhupada is important. This human facet of Srila Prabhupada is important. Because when we see Srila Prabhupada's human side, we are inspired to take shelter of Guru and Gauranga. Like Srila Prabhupada took shelter of Guru and Gauranga to accomplish his successes in ISKCON, similarly we also can take shelter of Guru and Gauranga to accomplish success in our spiritual lives. Therefore, to simply see Dhruva Maharaj or Prachetas to be pure devotees and transcendental would not be right. We have to see the human side of the Prachetas. We have to see the human side of Dhruva Maharaj. And then we shall learn the lesson from their lives for our spiritual lives. Just like seeing the spiritual life of Srila Prabhupada, we learn lesson. Seeing his human facets, we learn lessons in our Krishna consciousness. Similarly, when we see Dhruva Maharaj's, the Prachetas, human facet, we can learn a lesson how we should surrender to the authorities, how we should surrender to great Vaishnavas. So we find the Prachetas exhibiting their anger, human-like anger. Although they could have just finished off few trees, they were burning all the trees. And we find Brahmaji coming and pacifying the Prachetas. And the Prachetas were willing to obey the orders of Brahma and stop their anger. We find Dhruva Maharaj killing thousands of Yakshas. And at that time, Swayambhuva Manu coming and advising and pacifying Dhruva Maharaj. And immediately Dhruva Maharaj stops the massacre of the Yakshas, obeys the orders of Swayambhuva Manu. So we see the human side of Prachetas, that they are willing to still comply by the orders of Brahma. Not that we are pure devotees, so we are beyond the jurisdiction of guidance. We find Dhruva Maharaj still complying by the orders of Swayambhu Manu. Not that because now I am a pure devotee, I have seen Vishnu face to face, therefore I do not need to obey the orders of Swayambhu Manu. Thus in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya is giving instructions to Sanatana Goswami, he says, Krishna bhakti janma hoy, moola hoy sadhu sanga, Krishna prema janmete ho, puna mukhyanga. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sanatana Goswami, Krishna bhakti janma moola, the root, the moola of Krishna bhakti, devotional service to Krishna is, hoy sadhu sanga, is association of devotees, guidance of devotees. So one may think, now I don't have devotional service. I shall practice devotional service, associate with devotees, till the time Krishna Prema is born in my heart. No. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Krishna Prema janmete ho. Even after one's dormant love for Krishna is revived, still, punah mukhya anga, the most important element in the life of a devotee is sadhu sanga. It is not that after one becomes a pure devotee, there is no need for the association and guidance of devotees. Krishna prema janmete ho. In spite of the dormant love for Krishna being awakened, still, Kaviraj Goswami explains, Lord Chaitanya explains, the most essential element in the life of a devotee is the association and guidance of a devotee. It is not that when we become pure devotees, there is no guidance that is required. No association that is required. Like we find here in the example of the Prachetas. They are pure devotees, they have seen the Lord. Yet, Brahmaji is coming and guiding them. The association of Brahma is what made them stop the burning of the trees. The association of Swayambhu Manu was what made the pure devotee Dhruva stop the mass massacre and killing of the Yakshas. So therefore, we shall try to discuss today the episode of Dhruva Maharaj being advised by Swayambhu Manu. How Dhruva Maharaj, in order to take revenge of the death of his brother Uttama, went to the Himalayan mountains, to Alakapuri, where the Yakshas were living. And he started killing the Yakshas in mass numbers. Dhruva Maharaj was shooting arrow after arrow and was killing the Yakshas like anything. And the Yakshas, being powerful mystics, they also started showering arrows at Dhruva Maharaj's body. It appeared that Dhruva Maharaj's body was like a mountain covered by an incessant rainfall of the arrows. And the demigods started shouting, alas, alas, it appears that the son of Uttanapa, Dhruva, is now defeated because he is covered by the arrows of the Yakshas. But just like the sun appears from the foggy mist, Dhruva Maharaj once again appeared from the foggy mist of all the arrows and started defeating the Yakshas. After killing thousands of Yakshas, the remaining Yakshas, they were 1,30,000 in numbers, and Dhruva Maharaj was alone. After killing all of these different Yakshas, those who still survived fled from the battlefield out of fear of Dhruva Maharaj. When all the Yakshas fled, Dhruva Maharaj said, now let me go and see the city of the Yakshas, Alakapuri. But Dhruva Maharaj uttered these words to himself, after all, these are the Yakshas, and no one knows their ways. As Dhruva Maharaj started observing the city of Alakapuri, suddenly there was a sound as if the whole ocean had come to the earth. From the sky, there was a great dust storm which was rushing towards Dhruva. Within moments, the entire sky was cast with dense clouds and severe thundering could be heard. There was glittering electric lightning and severe rainfall. What was the rainfall? Blood, mucus, pus, urine, stool and dead bodies were falling on the body of Dhruva Maharaj. In the sky, a great mountain could be visible. And from all directions, hailstones were falling, lances, iron bludgeons, swords were falling on the body of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj could see from the sky huge ferocious serpents with burning eyes and fuming fire coming out of their mouth rushing towards him. He could see mad elephants, lions and tigers coming to devour him as if it was the time of dissolution. The ocean, which was so fierce with its foaming waves, came to destroy Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was completely perplexed, completely confused. He was a pure devotee. Yet, he was completely bewildered and confused. When the sages, guided by the Paramatma, heard that Dhruva Maharaj was in this confusion and perplexity, the sages arrived at the spot and said to Dhruva, O son of Uttanapad, now that you are covered by these mystic illusions by the Yaksha, and it is very difficult for you to surpass this illusion, you should know, there is only one thing that can get you out of this illusion. And what is it? The chanting of the holy names of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. If you chant the holy names of Lord Krishna, all the illusions will be dispelled. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that all of us are under the influence of the material energy Maya. Just like Dhruva Maharaj was under the influence of this illusory magical feats of the Yakshas. And only when the great sages came and advised Dhruva to chant the holy name, could he be freed from these mystical illusions. Similarly, only when we under the guidance of a pure devotee take shelter of chanting the holy names of the Lord, can all the material influence of the material energy be dispelled from our lives. Dhruva Maharaj chanted his Gayatri mantras, did Achaman and invoked the presence of the Narayan Astra. As soon as Dhruva Maharaj invoked the presence of the Narayan Astra, all the illusory, mystical, magical feats of the Yakshas disappeared. Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Dhruva Maharaj invoked the presence of the Narayan Astra. But what is the Astra in this age of Kali? Sango Pangastra Parshadam. Lord Chaitanya came along with his Parshadas and he brought his Narayan Astra, the chanting of the holy name of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And Srila Prabhupada explains, anyone who chants the holy name regularly, the influence of the material energy will disappear in as much as the mystical illusions disappeared for Dhruva when he invoked the presence of the Narayan Astra. One time Srila Prabhupada was traveling with a naturopathy doctor in a car. And the naturopathy doctor was telling Srila Prabhupada that if you take this herbs can be turned into this rasayan and this part of your body can be strengthened. If you take this particular herb and aushadi, it has this rasayan and this particular body of your limb of your body can be strengthened. In this way he was prescribing in naturopathic diet different herbs so that the whole body can be hale and healthy. At that time as they were driving, the naturopathic doctor was driving the car, suddenly the brakes failed and he was trying to control the car like anything. Srila Prabhupada turned to the naturopathic doctor and said to him, which rasayan will come to our help now? Which herb will come to our help now? None of your herbs, none of your rasayans can save us from death. There is only one rasayan that can save us from death, and that is Krishna Nama Rasayan, Srila Prabhupada said. Only by chanting the holy name of the Lord, this Narayan Astra, can one do away with death, can one do away with the influence of the material energy. Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw that now he was saved from these mystical illusions, he continued killing the Yakshas. At that time, Swayambhuva Manu, along with other sages, arrived at the spot. And Swayambhuva Manu began advising Dhruva Maharaj why he should not kill the Yakshas. Swayambhuva Manu gave 9 reasons to Dhruva Maharaj why he should not engage in the mass massacre of these Yakshas. For the first reason that was given by Manu to Dhruva was, he said, Alam Vatsati Roshena Tamo Dwarena Papmana. My dear Vatsa, my dear child, anger is okay. Ati Rosha means anger. If you express your anger and if you start killing people, it is alright. Killing is not bad. But when killing is done under 2 conditions, it is bad. Number 1, when killing is done unnecessarily, it is bad. And number two, when killing is done against offenseless, innocent living beings, it is bad. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that for Kshatriyas, killing is an essential element. In order to keep law and order in the state, they have to engage in the act of killing. But when Kshatriyas engage in the killing of living beings unnecessarily, especially if these living beings are innocent and offenseless, such killing will only lead a person to hell. Tamo dwarena papmana. Swayambhu Manu told Dhruva Maharaj, when killing is done unnecessarily and when killing is done against offenseless people, it opens the doors to hell. Tamo dwarena papmana. Dhruva Maharaj was killing the yakshas unnecessarily. They were offenseless. One yaksha had killed his brother Uttam, and therefore to kill that yaksha was justified. But to kill the rest of the yakshas who are offenseless and innocent unnecessarily was not at all justified. And therefore Swayambhu Manu told Dhruva, if you continue killing these innocent yakshas unnecessarily, you will have to go to hell. Therefore, stop killing. Prabhupada quotes in the purport that today in the society, people are maintaining slaughterhouses. And animals who are innocent and offenseless are unnecessarily slaughtered. The wholesale slaughter of human beings in wars, Prabhupada says, is a reaction to the wholesale slaughter of innocent animals in the slaughterhouses. One time Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk and Srila Prabhupada saw a huge hoarding which said 50 million hamburgers sold. Srila Prabhupada walked a little ahead, turned towards his disciples and said, 50 million people sent to hell. Right? If innocent, offenseless living beings are killed, tamo dwarena papmana. It only opens the doors to hell. Thus, Swayambhu Manu told Dhruva, you should stop the killing of these innocent yakshas unnecessarily. Otherwise, the ultimate destination for you will be tamo dwara. The gates of hell will open for you. The second reason that was given by Swayambhu Manu to Dhruva was, he said, karma etat sat vigarhitam. Sat vigarhitam. The killing of such offenseless animals is not approved by authorities. Sat vigarhitam. Prabhupada writes in the purport, every human being should act according to the authorities of the past. And specifically a devotee of the Lord must act according to what the authorities have prescribed. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna quotes authorities. Rishibhir bhaudha gitam chandobhir vividhair pritak brahma sutra padaischaiva hetu madbhir vinishchitai. When Lord Krishna is talking of the kshetra and kshetragya, he says rishibhir bhaudha gitam. In the past, the great sages have approved this. Right? And if one wants to understand the guhya dharma, dharmo itesha, what is that? How does that verse? Guhyam, the understanding of dharma is guhya, and therefore mahajana yena gathasu pantha. One has to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. One has to follow the prescriptions which is approved by the authorities. So therefore, Swayambhu Manu told Dhruva, what you are doing is not approved by the previous authorities. And therefore you should immediately stop killing of these yakshas because the previous authorities will not be pleased with you. One time Srila Prabhupada was giving a darshan and a professor from Caltech came to meet Srila Prabhupada. So after Prabhupada had given his darshan, the professor from Caltech stood up very proudly and said to Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, this chanting of Hare Krishna that you are prescribing is sentimental. It is not based on the Vedic scriptures. And he started rambling some quotations from the Vedanta Sutra. Srila Prabhupada did not even look at him. In the temple where Srila Prabhupada was giving darshan, there was Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra deities. Srila Prabhupada looked at Jagannath. He was looking at Jagannath. It appeared that Srila Prabhupada was like a lion getting ready to pounce upon this professor from Caltech. Srila Prabhupada waited. After this professor had finished his questions, Srila Prabhupada looked to the professor and said, "Are you finished with all your quotations from the Vedanta Sutra?" He said, "Yes." And then Srila Prabhupada started hammering this Purana, that Upanishad, this Veda, that Veda, this Acharya, that Acharya. He was talking from the Vedic scriptures. He was talking, giving quotations of the Acharyas, how the Acharyas have approved the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. This person who was standing very proudly now became a little deflated. And after that, he came on his knees. Finally, he sat down. Srila Prabhupada ended his presentation in a crescendo. And after he presented his concluding lines, he looked at the professor. "Any questions?" And the professor from Caltech said, "Why don't we chant Hare Krishna now? Let us have some kirtan." Right. So Srila Prabhupada was quoting authorities. He was always presenting those prescriptions which were approved by the previous authorities. When Srila Prabhupada arrived at the Hare Krishna land in the early days, there was a family called the family of the Acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada entered in their house for the first time. And devotees introduced, "Prabhupada, this is Mr. Acharya. He is working as a pilot in a certain airline company." Srila Prabhupada came, looked at the house and said, "So finally, we have now taken shelter of the Acharyas." What Prabhupada meant very jovially was, "Now we have taken shelter of the Acharya family." But what Prabhupada really meant was, "Finally, we have taken shelter of the Acharyas." Srila Prabhupada had always taken shelter of the previous Acharyas and was always doing what the Acharyas had approved. Therefore, Swayambhu Manu told Maharaj Dhruva that you should not kill these yakshas because it is not approved by the previous Acharyas. The third advice given by Swayambhu Manu to Dhruva was, "Nasmat kula uchitam tat." My dear son, what you are doing is na asmat kula uchitam. It is not befitting to your family. Lord Brahma, who is such a great devotee of the Lord, never engaged in a low class activity like that. I, who is your grandfather, I have never engaged in an activity like that. Your father Uttanapad was taking care of all the subjects including animals. And now you are killing these yakshas for no reason. It does not befit your family. Right? Family lineage is very important. And this was given as a reason to Dhruva Maharaj by Swayambhu Manu that he should not kill the yakshas unnecessarily. Govindpuru was mentioning a very nice point once, that perseverance and tolerance was a family affair for Parikshit Maharaj. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by Sringi that he would be killed in 7 days and 7 nights by the snake bird Takshaka, Parikshit Maharaj, although he had the power to counter curse, Parikshit Maharaj simply tolerated. Why? It was a family affair. It was known that in his family, Maharani Kunti had tolerated so many injustices that were hurled towards her. His grandfather, the Pandavas, had tolerated so many trials and tribulations which were hurled against them. His own father, Abhimanyu, had tolerated so much. And therefore, for Parikshit Maharaj, it was a family affair to tolerate all the difficulties that came in his life and to always remember and take shelter of the Lord. For Bali Maharaj, it was a family affair to use everything in the service of the Lord. His great grandfather was Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord. Therefore, Vamandev told Bali that your grandfather Prahlad was my devotee. It is for this reason that you should give me these 3 steps in charity. It was a family affair. Devotional service was a family affair for Dhruva Maharaj. Everyone in his lineage, all of his predecessors, were great devotees of the Lord. And therefore Swayambhu Manu told Dhruva that if you do not act properly, if you kill all the yakshas indiscriminately, it is only going to spoil the name of your family. Srila Prabhupada also dedicated his book, Krishna book, to his father Gormohande. And in his dedication he writes that my father who taught me the mridanga, my father who gave me the Radha Krishna deities to worship, my father who gave me permission to conduct Jagannath Rath Yatra, I dedicate this book to him. It came in a family lineage to him. And Srila Prabhupada kept the name of his father by opening the Hare Krishna movement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur kept the name of his father who gave him the Kurma deity to worship by establishing the Gaudiya Vaishnava movement. So Swayambhuva Manu was advising Dhruva, you should stop killing because Nasmat Kula Uchitam. This is not befitting your family, all of the family members who have been great Vaishnavas. The fourth advice that Swayambhuva Manu gave Dhruva Maharaj was, Nayam Margo Hi Sadhunam Rishikeshanuvartinam Yadatmanam Paragrehya Pashuvad Bhuta Vaishasam. He said, my dear Dhruva, you are a great sadhu, a great devotee of the Lord, and therefore it does not befit you to engage in an act like that. Why? Rishikesha Anuvartinam. All of your senses are engaged in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesh. My dear son, now that your senses are engaged in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesh, why are you using your senses for an inferior purpose of killing? That befits only an animal who is in a bodily concept of life. If an animal kills another person for his tongue, it is understood. But you are a great devotee whose all senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesh. So how can you, whose senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesh, use your senses for the killing of these yakshas? Why give up a superior engagement for the senses and take up an inferior engagement for the senses, that of killing the yakshas indiscriminately? Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and Navayogendra Maharaj explained the story that when he was in Vrindavan, there was a devotee. Prabhupada had one of his disciples, and this disciple would speak in Hindi. He would come to Prabhupada, he would talk in Hindi, but in the garb of a devotee, he was engaging in business. He was selling things to devotees in the temple. And also he was keeping two rooms in the guest house of Vrindavan. When Srila Prabhupada came to know that he is keeping two rooms in the guest house, he's selling things and making business, Prabhupada got furious. He called the temple president and told the temple president, kick him out of the temple immediately. This is a temple. This is not a place for business. And by the way, the guest house is meant for guests, not for devotees. Now Yogendra Maharaj came and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I knew that this person is a crooked guy. I knew that he will do something wrong. Srila Prabhupada gave an example. He said, just like an eagle, the eagle soars high up in the sky and is flying high in the sky. But from the sky, the eagle is constantly looking on the earth. Where is a dead body? I want to eat a dead body. Similarly, we gave him an opportunity to rise high up in his spiritual life, be a Krishna conscious devotee. But although he was engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness, being high like an eagle, he was constantly looking down to get an opportunity to cheat others, to make business. It is very unfortunate, right? So although engaged in a superior process of Krishna consciousness, he was engaged in an inferior act of selling things to devotees and making business in the name of devotional service. So Dhruva Maharaj was advised by Swayambhuva Manu, you are engaged in the superior act of serving Lord Rishikesh with your senses. Do not come down. Do not engage in the inferior act of killing the yakshas indiscriminately. The fifth point that Swayambhuva Manu gave as an advice to Dhruva was that, my dear Dhruva, one of the names of the Lord is, he is Bhutavas. Just like there is Chhatravas. Chhatravas means the place where students live. Bhutavas means the heart where he who gives shelter to all living beings, Bhutas, the Supreme Lord lives. So Bhutavas means Paramatma, the Supreme Lord who is living within the heart of all living beings. Swayambhuva Manu told Dhruva, my dear Dhruva, every living being is the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead lives. Just like in a Chhatravas, Chhatras lives, in Bhutavas, in every living being, the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides as Paramatma. Because the Super Soul resides in the heart of everyone, therefore every body should be considered to be a temple. If Aurangzeb broke down the temples and broke the deities, it was okay. But a great devotee like Dhruva Maharaj, if he starts breaking temples, that would not be justified. Therefore, my dear Dhruva, you should understand that every body is actually a temple of the Lord. The super soul resides within every body. Considering every body to be a temple of the Lord, you should not kill the yakshas indiscriminately. Srila Prabhupada always saw the presence of the soul and the super soul in the heart of every living being. After a particular initiation, Srila Prabhupada called a disciple and asked the disciple, "Do you know all the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness?" His disciple was so new, he was totally flabbergasted. He could not answer anything. Srila Prabhupada again asked, "Do you know what is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement?" He said, he couldn't answer. Srila Prabhupada knelt down from his asana, came down on the floor. There was an ant. He took the ant on his palm and said, "The purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement is to give this ant in salvation." Right? If our Krishna consciousness movement can give this ant salvation, our Krishna consciousness movement will be successful. Srila Prabhupada could see the presence of the soul and the presence of the super soul in every living being. When Jadurani Mataji wanted to paint the super soul, she came to Srila Prabhupada and she asked Srila Prabhupada, "How does the super soul look like?" And Srila Prabhupada, without a moment, without thinking for a moment, immediately posed for the super soul. Prabhupada said, "So like I'm standing now, this is how the super soul looks, you should paint like this." Right? And one devotee was giving realization that the yogis, they sit in their meditative postures for millions of years and they can't even see the toenails of the super soul. Panthastu koti shata vatsara sampragamyu. They can't even see the toenails of the super soul. But when one takes shelter of a pure devotee, that subject matter which the yogis take millions of years to understand is immediately revealed to a devotee by the grace of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada immediately revealed to Mother Jadurani how the super soul looks like, and that famous picture of the super soul in ISKCON is actually Prabhupada posing like a super soul, and based on that pose, Jadurani Mataji painted the super soul. Right? So Srila Prabhupada was in touch with the super soul. He could see the super soul bhutavas within the heart of every living being. So Swayambhu Manu told Dhruva that you should not kill the yakshas because they are like a temple, their body is like a temple, the abode of the super soul. The sixth reason that Dhruva Maharaj was given by Swayambhu Manu is, you should not fight with the yakshas because qualities like mercy, tolerance, friendship and equality is very, very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So you should be friendly to all living beings, merciful to all living beings, tolerant to all living beings and equal to all living beings. This will please the Lord. So forgive them, stop this massacre, because if you are friendly and tolerant, Krishna will be pleased. Stop this massacre of the yakshas. Badri Narayan Prabhu in his Vyas Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada this year told very wonderful stories to illustrate the qualities of Srila Prabhupada. How Prabhupada was tolerant. One time Prabhupada came to Detroit. Devotees from the East Coast, West Coast, all came to see Srila Prabhupada. And they were all preparing for Prabhupada's arrival, decorating the temple, making it all ready, making arrangements for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure. When Prabhupada came, the next morning Prabhupada sat for giving class. And devotees, in the last several days, it was the first time they got some time to sit down. So as soon as they sat in the class, all of us know what happened. Everyone was practically sleeping. And Srila Prabhupada was again and again mentioning how in devotional service one can gain anything only by the mercy of Krishna. And Prabhupada gave example, just like a poor man, he can become rich only by mercy. He may find something on the street, some gold, and then he can become rich. On his own, he cannot. Prabhupada looked into the sea of all sleeping devotees and said, "Yes, only by the mercy of Krishna, this movement is running." He looked at everyone and said, "This is definitely a fact, that only by the mercy of Krishna, this movement is running." Right? Prabhupada tolerated all of his neophyte disciples. Badrinayan Prabhu gives example to say how Prabhupada was equal to all living beings, equal to all his disciples. Anytime Prabhupada would come in the US, all the different local leaders from different temples would come to greet Prabhupada. And they would offer very rich and opulent garlands to His Divine Grace. There would be gardenias which would be flown in from Florida. There would be fragrant roses which would be flown in from Costa Rica. And there would be frangipanis that would be flown in from Hawaii. And all these expensive flowers would be used to make huge garlands for Srila Prabhupada. So one time Prabhupada came in a temple and there were many devotees were putting these very expensive garlands on Srila Prabhupada. So one Sankirtan bus leader had just rushed in time to see Srila Prabhupada and he was a rank and file devotee. So when on the way to the temple, these Sankirtan devotees had collected some forest flowers on their way and they had made a garland of some forest flowers for Srila Prabhupada. And the Sankirtan leader was holding his garland, very simple garland in his hand, and he saw Srila Prabhupada with a garland made of gardenias and fragrant roses and frangipanis, very rich and opulent garlands, and he was feeling so ashamed, how am I going to put this garland on Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada is wearing such rich garlands? So Prabhupada looked at the Sankirtan devotee. Prabhupada took each and every garland out and put it aside and called him, said, put the garland on, right? And this devotee put the garland on and Prabhupada looked at the garland and said, forest flowers? Very beautiful. Just like a garland that Radharani offers to Krishna. Very sweet and beautiful. Right. So, Srila Prabhupada would not be biased. This is a leader, he is giving me nice garland. This is an ordinary Sankirtan leader, he is giving me an ordinary garland. Prabhupada was equal to all living beings and to all of his disciples. So, Swayambhuva Manu told Dhruva Maharaj, that you should stop killing of the yakshas because Krishna is pleased with the qualities of friendship, mercifulness, tolerance and equality. The seventh reason he gave was, he said, my dear Dhruva, it is not at all the fault of the yakshas. Actually, it's all the working of the modes of material nature. It is all coming because of the karma. It was Uttam's karma to be killed. He is killed. Why do you blame the yakshas? Just like His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was quoting Srila Prabhupada. He was saying, don't be angry with the instrument of your karma. So Swayambhu Manu was trying to tell Dhruva that yakshas have simply been an instrument of Uttam's karma. So why do you need to kill them unnecessarily? Uttam has simply received his own karmic reaction. So don't be angry with them unnecessarily. Don't kill them unnecessarily. One devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and told Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, I am doing so many nice things. I am doing so many wonderful services. But no one is appreciating these wonderful services that I am doing. On the other hand, they are insulting me, they are blaspheming me, they are offending me. Srila Prabhupada said, in your last lifetime, you may have done that to them. And therefore, in this lifetime, it is coming back to you. Do not blame the instrument of your karma now. Don't blame him, right? It's simply your karma that is coming back upon you. So Swayambhu Manu told Dhruva, why get angry? It is just his karma that is coming back upon him. The eighth reason that Swayambhu Manu gave Dhruva was, my dear Dhruva, after all, your brother Uttam was not the body at all. He is the eternal spirit soul. And being the eternal spirit soul, he was never killed. So he was only one yaksha happened to be killing your brother, that to his body. Why do you kill other millions of yakshas simply because your brother's body was killed? He was actually never killed at all, being the eternal part and parcel of Krishna. And the ninth and the final argument that Swayambhu Manu gave Dhruva was that the brother of Lord Shiva, Kuvera, who is the master of all yakshas, he is a powerful personality. If you neglect him, if you disrespect him, he will be angry at you. And if he is angry at you, you will be in trouble. Therefore, simply for the cause of Kuvera, to please Kuvera, stop killing his followers, yakshas. And in this way, hearing the advice of Swayambhu Manu, Dhruva Maharaj stopped the killing of yakshas. Although a great devotee, it was necessary that Swayambhu Manu came and come and guide him. And being guided by the nectarian words of Swayambhu Manu, Dhruva Maharaj stopped killing of the yakshas. After Dhruva Maharaj stopped killing the yakshas, Kuvera himself personally came in front of Dhruva and said to Dhruva, my dear Dhruva, what do you want? Ask any benediction. And Dhruva Maharaj said, I do not want any benediction except that I constantly remember the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Similarly, we find herein that Prachetas were getting very angry at the trees and are burning the trees down to ashes. Brahmaji comes. Brahmaji pacifies Prachetas. And then when Brahmaji pacifies the Prachetas, the personified deity of the trees comes. And what benediction the personified trees give to the Prachetas? The personified trees give their daughter Marisha, who was under their care, the daughter of Kandu and Pramalocha, in marriage to the Prachetas, who are the pure devotees of the Supreme Lord. So to summarize what we discussed today, first two points we discussed were, why does a great devotee get angry? Prachetas or Dhruva Maharaj? Number one, they continue performing their prescribed duties as a Kshatriya. As Kshatriyas, Prachetas got angry to take care of the subjects so that they'll have land for cultivation. And Dhruva Maharaj got angry to revenge his brother's Uttam's death. Then we discussed how, secondly, a great devotee has his human side, his human facet, and we can learn from his human personality lessons in our own Krishna consciousness. In the life of Prachetas and in the life of Dhruva Maharaj, we learn the lesson. No matter how advanced we may be, we may have got the darshan of the Supreme Lord, yet at every step in life, we need the association and guidance of devotees, even if we have awakened our pure love for Godhead. And then we discussed how Swayambhu Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj, gives 9 different arguments and tells Dhruva Maharaj why he should stop the massacre of Yakshas. Finally stopping the massacre of Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaj receives a benediction from Kuvera, just like stopping the burning of trees, Prachetas receive a benediction from the personified deity of the trees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanande.